Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Got a little nuance to it.
Yeah, baby.
A little nuance.
Redneck.
We've got our own set of rules.
Yeah.
It's not as standardized as some places.
That's right. Just kind of have to figure it out now.
Yeah. I'm going to take a left there. Somewhere down here, we're going to kind of go back, take a left, go kind of go back where we were.
See, this here is supposed to be off a remote island over 1,600 miles from the nearest continent.
And do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it. That's good water, boy. Got all kind of minerals, electrolytes, parasites, maglitites. Natural minerals. In my opinion, that is the best tasting bottled water that you can buy.
Let's go on an adventure. Across the creek, here's a road to the right. Across the creek.
Okay.
Saw it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably about mean, when you're born and you hear it all your life, that was my understanding once I got on up in age, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. My concept of God was this holy and just and righteous judge that was just waiting for me to slip up so he could drop the boot. Yeah, you know, I could end up in hell just any second.
Yeah.
That's just hard for me to stomach anymore. And the problem is, not the problem, issue, I've gotten a revelation of who God is. I don't even know if I said that right, but my understanding and perception of God has vastly changed. And it started, I'll say for me, when I began to understand that God was my Father.
Yeah.
I don't to this day understand all that implies, but I came to a place in my own experience that God's my Father. What am I concerned about? Why am I going to worry about that? You know, lots of stuff fell off of me when I began to realize that. And that's where, that was a game changer for me. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about what was it, you know, that changed it for you. A lot of people talk about their understanding of the grace of God or the love of God. Mine was, God is my Father. And the second one was probably just coming into an understanding of the love of God. Don't love like I do. No.
It's far better.
He loves people I struggle with. I'm learning to love them like he does. That's part of the journey.
Yeah, his but, love is effortless.
Yeah. But, no, what it says there in verse 29... driving down the road trying to read. It says, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to be just like his son. That's because he was born and associated us in Christ. And he knew us. He knew the darkness. He knew our failures. He knew what the lies we were going to believe. But, and that's part of the journey, I think, learning who he is, because he has destined us to be just like Jesus. Come into the understanding of who we are. That's what I'm saying.
True. Well, okay. If I could maybe tie back to something you said a while ago about a huge game changer for you was understanding God as your Father. My reading of the New Testament, that's the primary revelation that Jesus gives us of God, is that he is a good Father.
Yeah.
We'd had, through the Old Testament, you had all other kinds of pictures of God and ideas and concepts. And the fatherhood of God is there, but it's somewhat hidden and seems to take a minor place to things like the holiness of God or the justice of God, the power of God, or maybe even the wisdom of God. But these type of things, and out of that, what I see there is that whatever your concept of God is, it drastically shapes how you live and how you relate to him.
Oh, yeah. And people.
And consequently, everybody around you. And if you see God as a holy judge, if that's your primary view of him,
yeah.
well, who wants to approach that? You know, it's kind of because that's like approaching the bench in a courtroom.
Yeah.
Well, that's sterile, cold.
Letter of the law.
There's not one. No one enjoys that. Even the thought of it.
I can remember preaching though, Larry, and I heard it all the time. I'm sure growing up was. Jesus is your lawyer. He's your advocate.
Yeah.
You know, going, and we had that concept of going before the judge, but you got to have the advocate.
Yeah. And he's pleading the case for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're guilty and they owe it, but I paid it.
Yeah.
Would you forgive it? You know. Which is just a total misunderstanding of the gospel and what Jesus was really doing and what the whole thing's about. But when you get, if you can ever get the reset of God as Father,
mm-hmm.
and then realize He's always been Father, and that's really what He's always been like, we just misunderstood it. In our darkness and ignorance, we just kept guessing and making a God in our image.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally Jesus came and revealed God as He really is, as a Father.
We still can't see it.
Yeah. He plainly declared Him, and we're still tripping over it.
Fighting over what He said.
Okay, going back to your scripture, though. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Him. And that's the whole idea. God in His love wanted a large family, and that's what He's created. He's birthed us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how He's always seen the whole process,
mm-hmm.
was that here we are as we got here, but our origin is in God the Father. And as such, we're His children, mm-hmm. made like unto God the Son, because we're created in Christ.
Yep.
So He had this idea in a determination that when it's all said and done in the consummation of the ages, this is what we're going to have.
Yeah.
And He's doing it, and He wants to do it. He's doing it out of His love, and He's happy to do it.
How crazy is it to think, though, that I'm born a sinner, I reach the age of accountability, I'm separated from God, I'm out here lost in my mind, I'm blinded, I'm separated. But if I do something, if I repent, if I trust Jesus, if I get baptized, if I do this, if whatever it is you got to do, if I do something, then that somehow or another makes God my Father, causes me to be born into Christ, and causes Christ to be in me. That is just so ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the...
this transaction.
That's the transactional storyline that we were told from birth.
Which one of your kids, Larry, made you their dad?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how ridiculous.
That's right, that's right.
I wanted you to read those two verses out of the traditional translation and see how He brilliantly uncovers what is there.
Yeah. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Isn't that so beautiful?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all there.
It's all there, but it's not what we... it's not top of mind awareness.
Predestined.
Well, yeah, there's two, like in verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined.
Yeah.
And those two words, foreknowledge and predestination, have been argued over and debated.
Hijacked.
Hijacked. for hundreds of years. And out of that, what has happened is a total miss, because it got debated over the wrong issue. Everybody missed what he was saying to start with. And because of it, everyone has everyone has a faulty understanding of the terminology.
Oh, yeah.
Foreknowledge and predestination.
Yeah.
And as such, the average church-going person, when you say the word predestination, immediately they think you're predestined to heaven, you're predestined to hell. When that's not what he's talking about. And when you say, well, that's not what he's talking about. Oh, no. And then here goes the debate.
Yeah.
And then and from that, the debate becomes, are people predestined to heaven or hell?
Yeah.
And then everybody runs down that dead-end road when that wasn't what he was talking about anyway.
Yeah.
He's just predetermined. We're all going to look like Jesus when it's done. Conform to the image of his son.
Because we got started in
him. You were created in Christ Jesus, and you're going to be conformed to Christ Jesus, and you can relax because he's doing it.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that we don't cooperate with the process, or that we don't have a choice, or what we do doesn't matter. I don't mean that. This is what gets you. I have a hard time explaining it to people because the language that I try to use gets misunderstood because we're still hijacked over here, kind of like that weeded old yard right there. We're over there in the weeds.
Hung up in the bushes.
In the bushes. We need to be out here on the highway. In the foreknowledge of God, he knew us before we ever got here. It's kind of like anything else. He's able to write prophecy because he knows what's going to happen before it happens.
For he knew all about us.
He knew all about us.
Before we were born.
And everything he knew about us, he took delight in.
Yes.
That's what people can't understand.
Yeah.
And
because he sees us as he created us in Christ. As image and likeness bearers. We bear his image.
And we're becoming into his likeness.
And part of life is becoming into his likeness. But what we got to see it. What we behold, we become.
Yeah. My understanding of it is even he has assumed the responsibility to reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows the Father unless the Son reveal it.
That's
no one knows the Son unless the Father reveal it.
That's right. Well, see, we've taken that and said, see, not everybody's in.
No.
It's only the ones the Father calls and Jesus reveals.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. The whole the starting premise is wrong. Is because you're starting with people on the outside instead of realizing start with people on the inside.
Everybody's in.
Yeah. Now, does everybody have that revelation? Nope.
No. We just coming into it.
Yeah. I'm just coming into it, and that's after 50 years of pursuing and reading and searching and studying. So I can sure have a little grace and patience, mercy and understanding with those that still, you know, like, don't see it that way.
Well, even just interacting with people in general, you know, for me, it's changed my perspective and my view of people. How I try to treat them, try to love them, and represent the Father to them. I mean, it just changes everything when you realize these gentlemen up here working on this road are in this world because God desired and designed them to be, because he wanted to share himself with them and
sure if we pull over there, they're filled with the joy of the Lord as they work on their broken down piece of equipment today.
Yeah. They could be, if they're not.
Now, the one that's supposed to be operating the equipment is enjoying having a day off and getting paid.
Yeah.
He's just sitting on a bucket.
Yeah. But for me, I was thinking about it coming up here this morning as I was listening to that podcast. Just sinking down into who I am in Christ. Christ in me, the Father. None of my life is a surprise. It was written in a book, and it was, however you want to look at it, determined that I should walk in it. But just learning to rest, and then I'm His, and He's mine. He wants to love me and teach me to love Him and others. And that's my goal in life, if I have a goal, just to know Him and share Him with others. If you have any thoughts about this, but I used to be anxious a lot of times and perplexed because I wasn't doing certain things. I wasn't preaching somewhere, I wasn't a pastor in the church somewhere, or I wasn't going on this trip doing this or that. Extending the kingdom, you know. I don't have that struggle anymore.
That's good. Well, I think that's the consequences of I'm going to use the term religion, that's always telling us we got to do something to earn love, or we have to perform to please. We got to work
to gain
the blessing.
Yeah.
And somewhere even behind that is a subtle, someday you're going to be accountable. You're going to be held accountable and judged for what you did or didn't do. So,
that's right.
You know, if you're just taking a day off and chilling, well, you're going to give an account for that someday, so you better get up and do something.
Yeah, you better go rescue the world that's going to hell.
Yeah. Well, that's the other of the guilt of their blood will be on your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that you have to answer it, but do you have any thoughts on Matthew 28? Where Jesus said, go make disciples.
Yeah.
You know how we grew up on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'd say I understood discipleship very much from an institutional church standpoint, which really was more like make a proselyte or convert somebody to your way of doing religion.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, you teach somebody to do what we do from a church standpoint. Believe like we believe, worship like we worship, do what we do or don't do what we do kind of thing. And it was really just trying to reproduce religious people is where I started, and realized from that, well, no, it's more of a lifestyle of living and walking with Jesus, because we're disciples of Him. We're not disciples of the religion. We're disciples of a person, Jesus. And we're learning to live life as He lived life, which is learning to hear what the Father is saying and then responding accordingly to that, that's what being a follower of Jesus is that you walk in a relationship with Him, with God, like Jesus modeled, and hearing and doing what He said. And through that process, there's a transformation that takes place that causes you to begin to live a very outward-focused life, other-centered life, which is the fisher of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah. And then they go and to make disciples. But then what I'm beginning to understand is that what He was talking about there, it's as you are going to make disciples, which means
living life.
As you're just going about everyday life, as you're living your life, as you are going.
Let me get it more practical.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just asking questions. You're helping me answer my daughter's question.
Okay.
I'm a mom, got three kids. My husband works. How does she make disciples?
She's making disciples. She's raising three kids.
I know that, but we gotta understand that.
But first of all, I think that's where it starts. Is that
so?
I am fulfilling. Let me put in some religious terms.
Yeah.
I am fulfilling Matthew 28 by raising my kids.
Yes.
In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay. Yes. Now that's about as churchy sounding as I know how to put that.
Yeah.
Because you're just living life.
Part of the issue is, and I don't know if I'll air this, I'll probably just cut it out and give it to her or something, but part of the issue is she's hearing this. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. I hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.